to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. We're broadcasting tonight from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. Simulcasting online at libertynewsradio.com and thepoliticalcesspool.org, and of course, transmitting as well to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. I'm your host, James Edwards. I want to thank my co-host, Keith Alexander, for his service during tonight's first hour. Coming up later in the show tonight, during tonight's third hour, we will hear from former professor and former Reagan administration appointee, Bob Whitaker. So stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to be covering some foreign territory tonight, covering a story, covering an issue that doesn't typically come up on our radar. And we're very excited to do that with two very patriotic Americans indeed. The first of them that I'd like to introduce is a TPC throwback. Michael Gaddy, who you might remember, served as our frontline correspondent from the Minuteman Project back in 2005. The Political Cesspool was one of the first AM radio broadcast entities to publicize the efforts of the Minuteman Project, and faithfully, with dedication and loyalty, Michael Gaddy was calling in from Arizona each and every night, each and every weeknight at least. We were on the air five nights a week back then, with reports from the scene. He is a retired Army veteran with 30 years of service in the airborne infantry and military intelligence, with tours at the National Security Agency and the Pentagon. Mike Gaddy, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, James. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you back, and I want to thank you for bringing word of this story to us. And if you can believe it, ladies and gentlemen, we have an even bigger guest than Mike Gaddy on the show. Mike, since you did bring this show to our, this subject to our attention, would you like to introduce our second guest?
Yes, I most certainly would. We are very fortunate in Montezuma County, Colorado, to have this man as our present sheriff. He is a true American patriot, devoted to the principles of the Constitution and to and an excellent law enforcement officer who has served this county very well for 30 years in the local police department here in Cortez, but he is now the sheriff of Montezuma County. Everyone, I'd like for you to meet Dennis Spruill.
Sheriff Spruill, great to have you on our broadcast tonight. It's indeed an honor.
Well, thank you very much. I'm humbled and honored. I'm humbled and honored.
Well, that's two things that we certainly are, and glad to know that is being reciprocated. Gentlemen, very good to have you tonight. As you know, we are going to be focusing on this issue that has manifested itself in your part of the country for the entire hour tonight. We're going to take the time to break it down because it is an issue that we have not covered before on this show, and we want to get all of the details out. Sheriff Spruill, can you begin tonight by just giving us a little background information on what is taking place there?
Well, I'll tell you, my constituents were complaining about the Forest Service and their takeover. And I'm a hunter and a fisherman, and I was up in the mountains hunting, and I came across an old road. It was an old four-wheeler road that the Forest Service had taken and built berms up every 400 yards and ripped that entire roadway. And the roadway didn't go much of anywhere. It was probably a useless road, but what they did to it just absolutely, it made me mad. It really made me mad. And then the more I checked into it, the more I found out they have this road closure thing where they've decided they're going to come in and just start closing our roads, and they're not going to coordinate with the county, and they just decided that, hey, we'll do this, and they're going to have to live with it. Well, our ranchers and farmers and people that enjoy the forest, we have an absolutely beautiful forest up here. It's one of the wonders of the world. And to scar it up the way they have and for them to decide what's good for us just irritates me. And I think it's time we said, hey, wait a minute, come to the table and talk to us before you start tearing up our forest.
So basically the matter at hand is that public lands, public roads are being closed by the U.S. Forest Service, and I'm reading here from Mike Gaddy's notes, and the Bureau of Land Management is acting outside their congressional mandates. Now, here in my part of the country, Sheriff, the law enforcement, and I hate to say this, the sheriff himself would just go along with the federal government. You take your oath of office seriously. You take your position to uphold and protect the Constitution seriously, and you are actually going to bat on behalf of the citizens. How did that happen?
Well, I did take an oath, and I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the sheriff, he's the ultimate law enforcement authority. He's the ultimate law enforcement
authority.
Because he's elected by the ultimate power, and that's the people. And the people have said, you're violating my rights, and I have an obligation to protect my county against enemies, both foreign and domestic. So if the federal government comes in and violates the law, it's my responsibility to see that it stops.
Now, do I understand it correctly? And you're right. And that's a very good point that should be reiterated, first of all, that the sheriff is the highest elected official in any county. That is something that most people, it might surprise some people, I should say, and probably most, because most people don't know what's going on anymore. But now, I know that this was an issue that came up even before you were elected. I understand that committees were formed by the local county commissioners to investigate these closings. This had been an issue in your county for some time. You actually campaigned on a platform that included putting a stop to these illegal road closings and bringing constitutional law enforcement back to Montezuma County, Colorado, and that's what we're talking about right now. So for how long before your election, I know that this is your first term, was this an issue?
It started during my campaign. I was invited to a class called Coordination, and it's a coordination between the federal government and the local entities. The Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management actually wrote up the policy for that and said, all right, we need to coordinate, so let's coordinate. Well, it didn't happen. And after I went to the class, I realized that, hey, this is something that the federal government should have been doing a long time ago. They should have been coordinating with us, because I started listening to the ranchers, and the rancher says, hey, I've got stock ponds up there I can't get to now because they've closed the road. We've even had people that have private property with cabins that can't get to their cabins because the Forest Service or the BLM has decided that they don't want that road there anymore. And it irked me. And that was during my campaign. And I said, I'm going to do something about that. And I am.
All right, I want to hold up right there. We're getting a lot of information here. I'm going to ask when we come back, we're about to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask the obvious question. Why, or in your opinion, why is the U.S. Forest Service cutting out these swaths of land, shutting down public roads, preventing people from accessing their own buildings and property? Why is that taking place? We're going to bring Michael Gaddy back into the conversation. Two great Americans on the show. Oh, my God, I almost sound like Sean Hannity right there. Let me think of another way to describe these people. We've got two men on the show right now joining me, and we're very happy to have both Michael Gaddy and Sheriff Dennis Spruill on the Political Cesspool Radio program for the entirety of this, our second hour. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're just scratching the surface of this issue. We're going to get more information from the sheriff and
Don't
Mr. Gaddy right after this.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are covering a very interesting issue right now with two great men, Michael Gaddy and Sheriff Dennis Spruill. You got some of the background information. Let me just say here as we kick off this next segment that it's outstanding to know that there are still some elected officials who take their oaths of office seriously, that are determined to stand up and protect their constituency and preserve and protect the Constitution, even if it means running afoul with some other government agencies. And apparently that's what's going on here in Colorado. Mike Gaddy, I want to turn it over to you as we still are reviewing some information, and you certainly have more background on this than I do, Mike, although I'm excited and engrossed in learning about this. Anything that we've covered so far, we're moving forward in the progression of this issue, anything that we've covered so far that you would like to add?
Well, it's just that there seems to be a preponderance of evidence now, James, that and it keeps increasing. The more research we do, the more we're able to look into it. There is a great possibility that our present administration has used our public lands and our mineral resources and what have you as collateral for the debt that we owe China.
I was going to get to that. I'm glad you brought it up, so now it's sort of out of the bag. Is this, Sheriff Spruill, the speculation that you also have? We were running out of time in that first segment, and we were building up to the point, now that we've established what's going on there, you've got the U.S. Forest Service basically cordoning off land, including land that contains structures and buildings, private property, roads are being closed. The question has to be asked, why are they doing this? And if you don't know for sure, what is your speculation? And I think Mike Gaddy just gave us a pretty interesting hypothesis. Do you share it?
Well, Mike and I have talked about it several times, and I've talked about it with a lot of other people. So I directly asked the Forest Service, why? Why are you doing this? And their statement is, well, we have too many roads on there already. They're unnecessary, and so that's why we're closing them. Also, we have a lot of elk and deer in our forest, and they say it's going to be better habitat for the elk and deer, and it'll keep them on Forest Service property instead of them coming down to the private property during the winter. Well, that all sounds real good in theory, unless you live here and you know that they've been doing that way, way before there was a lot of roads in the Forest Service. They just do that. That's how they migrate. And so it really didn't hold water. Mike's theory, I'm not a conspiracy guy like Mike, but it makes you think. I wonder. I wonder if that's not what they're trying to do to us.
Well, if push comes to shove, is there a jurisdictional mandate here? Who gets to call the shots? You're the sheriff. They're the U.S. Forest Service. If you want to reopen these roads, you want to give people better access to their belongings there, how's this going to play out?
And that is the tough one. That's a really tough question. Do I have the authority as the sheriff to tell the federal government, no, you're not closing these roads? There's several of the roads that, yes, I do have that authority, and they're called the RS-2477 roads. They're roads that have been built since before 1976, I believe. And by the Constitution, they cannot close those roads. Well, we've already identified two of them that they've destroyed and torn up to keep people off of them. So we're saying now, you better stop and you better think about what you're doing, because, yes, I can. And the Forest Service is starting to talk to us a little bit more. They're starting to think about coordination because I have told them that if I catch them violating the law, I have no recourse but to throw them in jail. It doesn't matter who you are, it's what you do. So if I have to cite them, that's a good possibility. I will cite them. If they have to go to jail, that's a possibility. That is certainly nothing that I want to do.
If this has this hair-lipped Washington yet, if it hasn't, I can guarantee you it will by Monday morning after your appearance on this show. Has there been any pressure, or, and I hate to use the word threats, because obviously they're not going to threaten the sheriff with anything other than, you know, bureaucratic legal action, but has push come to shove on this yet?
Well, the closest thing we've got to Washington, we had a meeting this morning with Congressman Scott Tipton, and we voiced our opinion, and he listened. And I told him that the Forest Service told me that most of their direction comes from Washington, D.C. And so I said, okay, Mr. Washington, D.C., where do we go from here? And he listened, and I think he's going to pay attention to what's going on.
Well, we hope that he will, because as I can tell, and as Mike very graciously let me know, there are a lot of people that are following this issue. Mike, I know that y'all had a very successful rally just this Friday. Is that right?
That is correct. I was detained by an appointment, was unable to actually get there. We had quite a few folks there. I've heard in the neighborhood of 100 people with some beautiful signs. I think I sent you the pictures, James. If you want to see salt of the earth people, come to Montezuma County, Colorado. These people care about what's happening. They care about their future. They care about their country. And not only do they care, but they're willing to get up off their backsides and do something to let people know that they care. And I'm just proud to be a part of this community.
You know, if anyone out there has ever tried to put together a political meeting, you know that it is very hard to get a smattering of people to show out in perfect conditions. And conditions were far less than perfect weather-wise, Mike, if I understand you correctly. It was pretty cold outside when you had 100-plus people show up to take to the streets and let their voices be heard on this issue that the U.S. Forest Service has thrust upon them.
Well, luckily it wasn't the morning before, because we were well below zero the morning before. But yesterday was certainly not a comfortable day for people to be there. But these people are a hardy lot. They care, and they want to see that the law is observed. They want to see that things are done properly, and they want to protect their country, and they're doing that.
And I understand, Sheriff Spruill, that you had been informed by a county commissioner, I believe, that the people who were protesting this in the past needed to be told by you to disperse. And you let it be known that they were exercising their First Amendment rights and that you would not interfere with their peaceful assembly. Is all that accurate?
That's pretty close to being true. I did have one of the councilmen advise me that there was a man that had a sign out, and he wanted me to find out what was going on. And the sign says, "The Forest Service is raping us," and give three of the commissioners' names and one of the Forest Service names. And I went out and checked the guy out. Once again, like Mike said, he was a salt-of-the-earth guy. All he was doing was what the First Amendment gives him the right to do, and he was doing nothing illegal. And I did call him and let him know, the commissioner, that what the guy was doing was exercising his First Amendment right, and he had every right to do that.
You know, and this is something we were covering in the first segment. Unfortunately, the action that you took there, which was the righteous action, it was the correct action, it was the constitutionally correct action, that is now, as political correctness and government intrusion continues to snowball, what you did, the correct action that you took, is now a novelty, now the exception rather than the rule. And I cannot applaud you or promote you enough for taking the stand that you took, not just in that instance, but in apparently all of the actions that you've taken so far since being elected to sheriff of Montezuma County of there in Colorado. Going to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. More about this story to come as the Political Cesspool continues tonight on the Liberty News
Don't
Radio Network.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. Welcome back to the show. Michael Gaddy and Sheriff Dennis Spruill of Montezuma County, Colorado, on our show tonight. We're talking about an issue pertaining to the U.S. Forest Service and the actions they are taking there in Montezuma County, shutting down public roads, cordoning off public and, in some cases, private land. Mike, you told me earlier in the week that, regrettably, we are not going to be the show that is the first one to scoop this issue, that this issue has already received some publicity, but I was very happy to hear that it also elicited a huge response.
Yes, it has. The sheriff has been on a couple of shows, and Dennis Atwater, who is, as Dennis and I were just talking about, is the nuts and bolts guy who has put together so much of this background. I can't wait for you to be able to talk with him, James. He puts this thing together. Dennis and I were just saying he should have a law degree. His research is exemplary. He is just, and he's another one of those fine patriots in this county. He has gone above and beyond the call of duty in everything that he's done. He's appeared with Dennis before the Forest Service, and there's no backup in him. He's just like the sheriff. You're not going to intimidate him.
It's very exciting to know that this issue is receiving a good response, that the sheriff's message is being well received. And I can't stress to you enough, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to support our elected officials who are doing right by the Constitution, who are doing right by their oaths of office and are standing up for the people. That is what Sheriff Dennis Spruill has done and is doing. Sheriff, I imagine as we are broadcasting live tonight, these roads are still closed. Is that right?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of them that are closed, but they are slowing down. They've decided to take a different look at it. And so our community getting involved has helped. And I just encourage them to keep it up.
Well, what's next? How do you continue to pursue this as you're fighting on behalf of the grassroots? You're fighting on behalf of the populists. What's your next move? I know you probably can't divulge everything, but
well, I'll tell you what. I want to go as far as I am capable of going, and if it requires going to Washington D.C. and meeting with some people, that's what we'll have to do. We can't give up. If we just let them roll over us, then you know what kind of people are we? When I was elected, I thought I was going to be asked, "What are you going to do about the burglaries? What are you going to do about the robberies? What are you going to do about gang problem?" That wasn't the question. The number one question that I received was, what are you going to do about the encroachment of the federal government? And it really woke
me up,
and I thought, you know what? This is not only my concern, it's everybody's concern.
So this is what the people were saying to you as you ran for office. What are you going to do about federal government encroachment?
That was my number one question.
That's outstanding. Well, I'll tell you what, as y'all mentioned, and very accurately so, the people of Montezuma County, Colorado, are the kind of people that really represent everything that used to make America so great. Michael, what role are you playing as this thing continues to evolve?
Well, anything that I can do, pardon me, getting you involved in this is part of it, James, getting some other folks involved in it, trying to bring national attention to this. And I think we have to tell people, these road closings are not only happening in Montezuma County, Colorado. They're happening throughout the South. Throughout the West, throughout the Southwest, throughout the West, where there are so much lands that are public lands. And we're not the only people experiencing this. And we need to get the message out there to those other people that there is a method, there is a way you go about stopping this. The first thing you do is you go out and you find a good man like Dennis Spruill and you elect him to sheriff. And get somebody with a backbone that'll stand up and say, you're not doing this anymore. Someone who's not intimidated by the federal government.
Well, that's exactly what you have there. And I am, again, to use the words that we batted around earlier, and it's amazing how quickly time flies when you're on the air, honored and privileged to have both of y'all with me tonight and for coming on the program. Sheriff, I know we're based in Memphis. We do have listeners all over the country. I don't know how many we have in Cortez, but nevertheless, you never know. What, if anything, can we do to help from afar?
Well, you know, we just need to spread the word. I am sure there's a lot of people where you live that come to Colorado to hunt and to fish. They got to pay attention, too, because someday they may come to Colorado and they're not able to get up in the mountains. You know, is it going to get to the point where we have to pay to take pictures in the forest? And right now, if you go cut wood for your stove, you are charged a fee. If you pick up pine cones from the forest floor, you are charged a fee. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, and now they're closing the roads. The thing that scares me about closing the roads is not only does it take away our ability to visit our forest, the people that can't get out and walk the 10 or 15 or 20 miles. it also eliminates us from getting in and getting our natural resources that we have it up there, our mining, our trees, the things that we need to keep our country independent. And if we take that, we're always going to depend on someone else to give us those resources. And I it scares me. It just scares me.
Well, guys, I hope and pray that this will have a favorable resolution, that justice will be done here. I cannot tell you again, and I know I'm saying this at the risk of sounding repetitive tonight, how good it is to know that we still have people in highly elected positions that we can count on to serve and protect, serve the people, protect the Constitution. That's what you've got with Sheriff Dennis Spruill. The fact that he's come on our radio program tonight is just further evidence that there are still elected officials out there worthy of the support of the people. And again, unfortunately, in today's politically correct climate, that is a novelty, but it is not something that is going to slip past our radar here in Memphis and on the Liberty News Radio Network. Michael, as we start to wrap this thing up, is there anything that we have not covered tonight that you think is of particular interest to the listening audience here across the country and around the world?
Well, it's the sheriff has stated it very eloquently. These lands are ours. They belong to us. They belong to the people. This country belongs to us. It belongs to the people. And if you want, you mentioned, pardon me again, you mentioned the fact that we have a great sheriff, and we do have a great sheriff, but the way we got that sheriff was by becoming involved on the personal level. The people here are involved. They do things. They get together. They work together. We show up at the county commissioners' meetings. We show up at other stuff. Sometimes I think they get a little uncomfortable because we're there, but that's our job as citizens. Our job, we are stewards of our own country, and we have to stand up and we have to do those jobs. We just had a Constitution class today. We have a Constitution class every 2 weeks. The sheriff was in attendance today. He's usually in attendance whenever his schedule will permit. The congressman that he mentioned before that was elected this time, Scott Tipton, he's actually attended our Constitution classes. We live in a county that cares, James, and America needs to become involved in their own local communities as the people here are becoming involved in Montezuma County.
Mike, that was very, very eloquent, very well put, very good job. You know, it sounds like y'all have got the kind of community there that's the prototypical American community that you would read about or perhaps see in a Norman Rockwell painting. It is good to know that in 2010, there are pockets of the country that still exist. They practice their civic pride and their duties as citizens. This is really outstanding for me. You know, we named this show The Political Cesspool because modern-day American politics is that of a cesspool. We have to wade through it and clean it out on the show each week, but to know that there's still communities like this out there, really, and I hope I'm not taking this too far, reinstills a little hope.
Well, I hope it does inspire some other people to become involved, James. And in the future, we've got two beautiful ladies, my wife and Darla Sanders, that are working on a website. We're actually going to go up on the web with this thing to show other people in the country what we're doing, James.
Mike, Sheriff Spruill, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Sheriff, we have 30 seconds left. It's all yours. Anything else you'd like to add in summation?
Well, I'll tell you what. It brought tears to my eyes to listen to Mike.
It was really good. I wasn't exaggerating that.
It is absolutely fantastic. We're all Americans. Let's all stick together. The federal government is our government, and they work for us, not against us. So let's come to the table. If they have something they want to talk to us about, let's talk about it, but don't shove things down our throat. Let's work together, and every community in the United States of America ought to be up in arms when they see something that is unjust, unright. And let's take a stand. Let's throw politics out of it. Do the right thing.
Sheriff Spruill, thanks so much for doing the right thing. And Mike, thanks so much for bringing this story to our attention. God bless y'all, and keep doing it there in Colorado. We'll be keeping tabs.
Welcome back To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here. You just heard from Sheriff Dennis Spruill, a Republican elected to the highest position of his county out there in Colorado, talking about an issue that we have, of course, never covered before, but we were glad to give publicity. It is very inspiring to know that men like that still exist, have the courage to go toe-to-toe with the federal government when it is necessary and when they should. And we hope that there is a favorable resolution out there. We will keep tabs with both Sheriff Spruill and Michael Gaddy as this situation comes to a head. Been a good show tonight. Keith Alexander on fire, as always. You've just heard from those two gentlemen. Coming up later tonight, in fact, I don't know, about 20 minutes from now, we'll have Bob Whitaker on. Tonight is political cesspool throwback night, I tell you. We had Michael Gaddy on. We first came to know Michael Gaddy, who has also served as a columnist for LouRockwell.com back in 2005 during the Minutemen Project. That was just, we went on air for the first time in October of 2004. So when we had Gaddy on in April of 2005, when the Minutemen Project kicked off, we'd only been on the air a few months, and that was one of the first tangible things we were able to produce, giving that movement publicity back before they became a household name. Now, it didn't take long for Sean Hannity to try to co-opt that, just as the establishment conservatives have done with the Tea Parties. But for the first week or so, the Minutemen Project was very pure, and Michael Gaddy was our correspondent on the ground there. He and Joe McCutcheon, another one of our good friends, were our correspondents on the ground from Arizona back during the Minutemen Project. Brings back some good memories to have Michael Gaddy on the show tonight. And Bob Whitaker, another one. Bob Whitaker was another one of our very first guests back in late 04, early 05. And Bob Whitaker has done quite a bit to help this show over the years, and we are excited to have him back for an all-new interview. It's going to be the first time Bob's been on in, well, you know, I hate to say it. I'm embarrassed to say it. A couple of years now. It's been a very long time since Bob Whitaker last appeared on our show. Of course, he is a former college professor. He's an author, former Reagan administration appointee there in Washington, and the list goes on and on. Going to be fun to talk to old Bob again tonight. And folks, if you have not yet joined us tonight, we encourage you to join us now, right now. There's no time like right now to join us in the Political Cesspool virtual fan party and online chat being hosted by our partners, the Council of Conservative Citizens. So if you want to do that, go to cofcc.org, www.cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Join us now in the Political Cesspool fan party and chat with myself and other listeners of our award-winning show. For the remainder of tonight's program, we got about an hour and 10 minutes left in tonight's show. We'll look forward to seeing you there, and you'll be glad you came. Administering the chat tonight, serving as moderator of the chat, is our very own Bill Rowland. Bill Rowland, Political Cesspool co-host, is the chat administrator tonight, taking the job that Kyle Rogers normally does so dutifully. So Bill Rowland not going to be on the air tonight because he is hosting the chat. You've heard from Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller have the night off tonight, so I guess that covers pretty much all of our hosting staff. Now, what do we want to talk about now for the next few minutes until Bob Whitaker joins us? I told you that Michelle Malkin had a good column this week, and it follows up on a story that we originally posted at the Political Cesspool's website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We encourage people to eat at Chick-fil-A. I've always liked Chick-fil-A. They have some of the best sandwiches in the world. They're a southern chain and one of the few remaining conglomerates that remain closed for business on Sunday. And they are being attacked left and right by perverted homosexual groups because one of Chick-fil-A's parent organizations. It's called the Wind Shape Foundation. It's a Christian group, and they actually stick to the biblical definition of what marriage is all about. So, obviously, Chick-fil-A is, are a bunch of heretics as well. Well, the attacks are continue to come on strong. They continue to pile on Chick-fil-A and their very old CEO, Truett Cathy. Michelle Malkin documented this week, and here's what she wrote. Now, I'll read as much of this as I can verbatim because it was a good piece, and it really brings into sharp focus. It's not just those of us who are out here publicly taking stands that we know are politically correct, politically incorrect, but morally correct. Even these big businesses like Chick-fil-A are not being able to now slip past the PC radar. Michelle Malkin writes this. Here's a modest proposal for liberals who say that they support job creation. Stop smearing successful, law-abiding private companies whose values don't comport with yours. I'm looking at you, New York Times. Chick-fil-A is an American success story. Founded by Georgian entrepreneur Truett Cathy in 1946, the family-owned chicken sandwich chain is one of the country's largest fast food businesses. It employs some 50,000 workers across the country at 1,500 outlets in nearly 40 states, including the District of Columbia. The company generates more than $2 billion in revenue and serves millions of happy customers with trademark Southern hospitality. So, what's the problem? Well, Chick-fil-A is run by devout Christians who believe in strong marriages, devoted families, and the highest standards of character for their workers. The restaurant chain's official corporate mission is to, are you ready for this? Glorify God and enrich the lives of everyone that they touch. How horrible, right? Well, the company's community service initiatives through its Wind Shape Foundation support foster care, scholarship, summer camp, and marriage enrichment programs. On Sunday, Chick-fil-A closes its store so workers can spend the day at worship and rest. For the left, these biblically based corporate principles constitute high social justice crimes and misdemeanors. Democrats are always ready to invoke religion to support their big government. And, you know, I saw Barack Obama going on and on the other day about how his Christian faith guides everything he does. What a joke. But this is it. You know, this is the Democrats are always ready to invoke religion to support their big government, taxpayer-funded initiatives, Obamacare, illegal alien amnesty, increased education spending, the FCC, regulatory expansion, for starters. But when an independent company, thriving on its own merits in the marketplace, wears its soul on its sleeve, it's suddenly a theocratic crisis. Over the past month, several progressive activist blogs have waged an ugly war. And we use progressive as a tongue-in-cheek way to identify the Marxist, of course. They've waged an ugly war on Chick-fil-A. The company's alleged atrocity, one of its independent outlets in Pennsylvania donated some sandwiches and brownies to a marriage seminar run by the Pennsylvania Family Institute, which happens to oppose same-sex marriage. In the name of tolerance, the anti-Chick-fil-A hawks sneered at the company's main product as Jesus Chicken, derided its no Sunday work policy, and attacked its operators as anti-gay. See, if you're a conservative, you're never pro anything. You're anti everything. Michael Jones, who describes himself as having worked in the field of human rights communications for a decade, most recently for Harvard Law School, launched an online petition demanding that the Chick-fil-A company disavow, demanding that change.org disavow extreme anti-gay groups. Over the weekend, New York Times reporters Kim Severson gave the Chick-fil-A bashers a coveted Sunday A-section megaphone, repeatedly parroting the Chick-fil-A as anti-gay slur and raising fears of evangelical Christianity's muscle flexing with only the thinnest veneer of journalistic objectivity. Severson, you see, is an openly gay advocate of same-sex marriage for herself, and is the vice president of the National Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association. Well, it just goes on from there. But remember this. These were the same tactics left-wing mob groups used in California to intimidate the supporters of the Proposition 8 traditional marriage initiative. Individual donors were put on an anti-gay black list, quote-unquote. Businesses who contributed money to the Prop 8 campaign were besieged by fist-wielding protesters. The artistic director of the California Musical Theater was forced to resign over his $1,000 donation supporting Prop 8. Once again, in summation, we here at the Political Cesspool Radio Program encourage our listeners to eat at Chick-fil-A every meal they can. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Bob Whitaker. Eat at Chick-fil-A, everybody. Eat more chicken.
Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.